day trips, look at the time.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The boys started something here. Apparently someone, I don't know who it was, tweeted out, called James Harden the B word.
A couple of our couple of our listeners sent it in direct message. I'm like, The first thing I thought of was, I wasn't crazy about James off the court. And sometimes James on the court upset me, but that guy was a great, great player. I don't like the way he got out of it. Once he's gone, he's gone. I'm on to the first round picks. But I definitely wouldn't call him the B word.
You don't rep the H
to.
Like you should.
It's disrespectful.
Well, if you rep the H like you should, you would call
maybe.
Him. Look, if you're
pissed. But I still think even if you rep the H, I do when I do national stuff, and I don't really see any reason to
so
do that.
How, wait a minute. It's kind of, I don't know.
If you don't have
it's
this
douchey.
As your.
Well, after he leaves, you're a bitch. Shut up.
Look, if you don't have your pin tweet as the bottom line, I will always put on for Houston against any other fan base or lame city 100% every single day and then have a picture of the Houston skyline, then you can't rep the H. If that's not your pin tweet, you don't understand. Some people stand with the H, some people don't. You're one of the people who doesn't. I just heard you say you want to go national. Some people just want to rep for the H and that's be all, local.
No, I said national stuff, I feel like I do, but I don't feel like I wouldn't have called James that. There's no reason to.
So we're talking about Adam Clanton sent this tweet out. Adam Clanton sent out a tweet.
He tagged, I'll give him credit. He tagged James Harden and
Kevin Durant.
And Kevin Durant both. He said, you wanted that role. Okay, so this guy named Michael Scotto. He said, this is what James said after the game.
Michael Scotto, is that the Italian Michael Scott?
Michael Scotto.
I made paper.
James Harden said, I was in a role for 8 years controlling the ball, dominating the ball. Now it's a different experience for me, but it's still great. It's still basketball at the end of the day. I'm lucky to be able to do more than just one thing on the basketball court. It's fun.
Does that quote warrant the reaction?
That quote did not have me feeling any type of way, personally.
Well, it had Adam enraged.
He said, bitch, you wanted that role. You know why it's great for you now, James? Because you'll have Kevin Durant to bail you out when you inevitably can't cook in the postseason.
Wasn't this
you know it.
Same guy Houston that always knows it. That always backed him on his
and
defense?
Everyone suddenly riding your jock now that you play in New York knows it. He said, I still find it funny that people are genuinely surprised I'm dunking on Harden after I defended him 24-7 for so long. Like, did anyone else watch or listen to what that punk ass did and said on his way out of town? And now he's a national media darling. Get on my level of anger.
I would say Maybe you shouldn't have been defending him 24/7
so long.
But
what did he do on his way out? I mean,
he burnt the bridge at the end.
He did the James stuff to try to get himself out, but he didn't rail on Houston, his teammate. I mean, maybe I don't know everything he did. I didn't like the cheesy off the court stuff.
He said they were the presser.
Wearing
we were
the fat
not,
suit. I didn't like that move.
He said we weren't good enough. We're just not good enough. Was that upsetting?
But like we said on the show, you're not good enough.
Guess what? He spoke the truth. They weren't good enough.
I think they were upset with the way
they're seven and nine right now with three straight wins. But they're not good enough.
Honestly, one of the first things I thought of was Mo Malone Jr.
Yeah.
I just thought, man.
Well, this outrage and name calling from Twitter. What a douchey move.
But seriously, you could seriously get jacked up.
Yeah.
I got some insight into how that stuff went down. It's not that hard.
No. James will send some people
James
after
could.
You
could get you
say
squad
that.
Rolling
it's
up on
well
you.
Documented.
You guys say that. I wouldn't say that James would do that.
He wouldn't do that?
I would say James would say, hey, that's rude. And then go about his business.
Dell, you're not going to get him for the Heat, so you don't have to worry about it.
No, I'm not worried about the Heat. I'm worried about my personal safety.
Oh, yeah.
James
well, I'm
would
just
never.
Saying, it's also, you also have plausible deniability. Like, I'm not even in Houston. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I didn't do anything.
Oh, fake.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, fake standing up for the H. That's what this is about.
No.
I'm
some
for
people
the H.
rep it harder than you. No, you don't care about the H. You're repping wherever.
Miami.
No, he's not even repping. He's repping like Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Or Daytona.
Well, This is my problem with you.
Call out Jimmy Butler if you're a real one.
Why would I?
Because he didn't win a title.
So?
Yeah. Oh, how's that? Oh, yeah, I guess you're fine with being a loser.
Call out LeBron.
Okay, why?
Call out Chris Bosh.
Why?
Yeah, call him B-word.
Why would I call them out? Yeah. You haven't given me a reason. Because
you're not
to.
A real one.
Yeah.
Oh, so now you're on the side of the...
Are you calling out Dwayne? You know what? You made me think about it, though, and now, yes, I'm repping for the H2.
So are you calling James a bitch?
No, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we're on the record.
Okay.
I'm on the record as not calling him
that. I tell you what. I know how Clanton and James Harden can settle this. A three-point shooting contest.
You can't ask him to go against the professional.
That's not right. What about Jake Paul, Nate Robinson boxing match?
No, I don't want that. No, a three-point shooting contest. I think, you know, Clan's got skills.
Because I'm watching.
No, he doesn't.
I'm looking at the quote tweets, and there's a lot of people.
Look at John. I see him. He can barely control himself.
He makes himself laugh harder than anybody on the planet.
I do. I made me laugh again.
I made me laugh.
You make yourself laugh hard.
I made me laugh
today.
Again.
I don't know. I give him credit for
anybody. Go look up Adam Clanton shooting threes and see. You'll laugh too.
You'll laugh at what I said too.
You'll laugh at what I just said.
I can't believe it's not. I can't believe he hasn't deleted that tweet.
No, he want that smoke.
No, he ain't afraid.
I guess he likes
scared of James.
I give him credit for it. It's up there. But if you go to the quote tweets and you read the comments,
he's catching it.
Like 1,000 people so far commented on
it. Look at all the smoke he's catching. Look at it.
But maybe he does want that.
Maybe he does. He does. You know what? I mean, everything Nick Wright says, he wants. Are you kidding? That much attention for one tweet?
If Nick Wright, but Nick would not be on the right side of that one.
No. Well, he doesn't mean being on the right side of this one?
No, but Nick wouldn't want to be on that side.
I'm a fan of a two back-to-back.
Here's the problem.
Quote tweets. One was, oh, you P-word for real. One quote tweet for Adam. And then LMAOOO F up P-word. These are my favorites so far.
Those are the best things
mine
so far?
Was,
yes.
Mine was, he's giving off that LeBron leaving Cleveland for the first time fan vibe. Because you remember how mad people were there. Yeah,
they heard.
Setting jerseys on fire. We were mad like they that, heard. Too, when Matt Schaub was still our quarterback after Seattle. Remember, that's the first time a jersey was lit on fire of Matt Schaub.
It
was the first time.
I saw a jersey in the, I don't know, at a Kroger's. It was somebody put a David Carr jersey on one of their kids, but there was pink strip tape on it, and then it had Schaub written on it.
Yeah.
I was like, really? I mean,
no, that's how you save money.
No, but it was in the midst of Schaub being Schaub at the end.
The
so I was
pink
like,
tape?
I was like, what? Why? Why would you still wear that? It's not even a real Schaub jersey. Why would you wear this?
Hey, Dell, how about this? Boston Market's Nashville Hot Crispy Chicken Sandwich. Boston Market has a
Boston Market is still alive?
Boston Market is still, yeah, it's still good. I still go there. I go there.
I didn't know they still were open.
Nashville Hot Chicken Sandwich. What do you think?
I haven't tried it, so it sounds great.
Oh, the only problem is it includes a chicken breast that is covered in Nashville hot sauce.
Yeah.
No, but is it a filet or do they just pour sauce on it? That's the question. Is it part of the cooking process?
Sauce? Because I need to know if Dell's going to like it or not.
You should be asking me these questions.
Yeah.
No, from what I look, I can't. No, it looks like they just poured sauce on
it. Yeah, they're just pouring sauce on it.
Beat it. Beat it, Boston Market.
Yeah.
Another failure.
No, see? Now, what's LeShane think about this?
Another failure, he said.
It is another failure. What does LeShane know about chicken?
Dell is officially the chicken sandwich
come
man.
After you.
Yeah.
He's officially the chicken sandwich
man. Don't come up with your garbage that includes hot sauce on a regular filet. Miss me with all that. Mm. I'm talking to you, LeShane.
Mm. Went to a couple cool places recently. 913 Till. And that was a really cool little spot. It's cocktails and also food. The food was fantastic. And then also yesterday, the taco stand, which is over by Burger Joint in the Heights. Man, there's so many cool restaurants over there.
When's this Burger Chan opening up over here?
It's going to be a minute. I got in at that Hidden Omakase this Friday. I'm going there.
Well, how about a coffee shop, too, that's down here? We got a coffee shop just open down here, Tom's.
Yeah, Tom and Tom.
Yeah, it doesn't open to...
It opens at 8.
What kind of coffee shop opens at 8?
I know. I think they're like, if we open, are you going to come? Because if you're not going to come, we're not going to open. It's like a chicken and egg thing.
Well, you gotta open early so people can get coffee before they go to work.
Or just open at 6:45 when we can get it.
Oh. Dell, the chicken sandwich is Nazi. No sandwich for you. No sandwich for you.
That's fine. I was going to make, nah, I can't even make the joke. That's fine. I'm just telling. These are certain requirements for a good chicken sandwich. And pouring hot sauce, no matter how fancy you call it, on a regular filet is not one of the requirements. Beat it.
Yeah. So you're the chicken sandwich.
No, I have standards.
Expert. Okay.
I'm not an expert. I just this is what I like and what I don't like. It's pretty simple.
That's it.
If your heat comes from a sauce that's not part of the cooking process, get out of my face with it.
So are we handicapping all chicken sandwiches off Miko's?
That's pretty much, yeah. It's the GOAT for me right now.
Miko's.
Yeah. They offer levels of spice. So it gives you options. You don't have to burn your mouth off, but if you about that life, like I am, you go for that. And then all others,
you went for the hottest,
not the hottest, like the second level
pro knows his limits.
Yeah. I like spice, but I don't want it to be painful.
No,
you know, no. It's not painful and bland. Any sandwich that you had to pour sauce on.
See, look at that. You hear that, LeShane?
Yeah, I'm talking directly to him.
Take that, LeShane.
If I had put money in GameStop, I wouldn't even be doing a show.
You see,
you guys.
I'm so obsessed with this.
This is the craziest
all morning
story.
Long.
People have been making millions in just days.
Just.
I'll tell you the story because Dell doesn't know it either. GameStop, which is the worst model, like it's basically what was the Blockbuster video? It's basically
you buy
it's
video.
Not rental.
You
it's
buy
you
games.
Buy the games, but. It's not a great model. They don't have a streaming model, and their stock has been going, prum, 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 and now people are making millions off of it. I'll tell you what happened on the other side, because it's kind of crazy. I went out on the next one. It's supposedly AMC Theaters is the next one they're going to save. Like, you know what? Let's just save AMC Theaters. Like, are you sure you want to try that? 9:13 here on The Bench.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:16. So I was telling you about this.
Lance is chewing gum. He's going to leave it on the...
For Joel.
For Joel.
To see if he says
it. Do you think you should leave it on...
I don't think he'll say it.
Right there on the counter.
You want to leave it on the counter or the mic button?
He's mad that there's a glass of water. There's some water back there. I don't even know whose water it is, and... He's mad that somebody left some water back there.
I think you should put it on the on-off button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since you want to, you talking all flagrant in there, put it on the mic. Put it
no,
on the mic button.
I'm not putting gum somewhere. I don't intentionally do that stuff.
Down,
he believes you do, so you might as well lean into it.
Yeah.
So this thing, y'all need to know about this. This is going to be like, so the GameStop, right? GameStop is where you go buy video games. It's been around forever. It's publicly traded. Well, that's not a great model, buying video games right now. A lot of people will buy it online, download it, and then stream it to their Xboxes, PlayStations, whatever. And so their stock has been going down, 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 down. And as of January 16th, I believe, it was – no, January 14th. And January 14th, it was – either 14th or 12th, it was trading at about $20, which seems reasonable, I guess. And then a bunch of people on a Reddit page who called Wall Street Bets, where they all discuss, there's like a bunch of people who are investors there who communicate on Reddit. Reddit's like a message board is what it is. And then you have lurkers, people who read it. And apparently there's a lot of people who go to this site and they speculate. It's no different than handicappers, right? You say what games you want to bet on. I'm going to lay with Drake minus the points, and I'm unloading on this. And so it's the same kind of thing. You betting on the stock market is no different than betting on sports. You go and you see who do other people like and what it, you know, what are other people like? So everyone goes to this site. Well, I guess they realized that there was some gap in the options market, which mean, and I don't know this stuff very well, but basically meant a lot of people were shorting, meaning they were selling off stocks that they didn't have in GameStop. They expected it to keep losing money and eventually go away. And so these people on this Reddit site all got together and said, you know, we could buy stock in this and push it up. Those people would get tanked, and we got a chance to make money quickly. Once again, I don't know exactly how it works, but they basically said if we all buy together, huge chunk, there's going to be seismic movement on this stock, and other people will jump in and start buying, and it's going to go way up. We could all end up making a bunch of money. The stock currently is trading about so you saw it jump up to like $34 a couple days later, and then it just kind of, and I think once everyone realized, wow, this is really working, and the word started getting around, yesterday it went up over 140 points, I guess, or whatever. It went to 140 yesterday. It took this monumental jump. It's up over $300 today. It's down in the $200 limit. One guy put $100,000 in and made $14 million. He put it in when it was like $18, $17 is when he first decided to do this. And people have been making tons of money. Dre said, a week ago, my brother sent me this about GameStop. I'm pissed I didn't follow through. And it's a whole article about this whole thing from Reddit. GME, infinite gamma squeeze, gap in option market, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. What happened last week with the stock price option was a combination of gamma squeeze, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, it gave him an opportunity to jump in on this, and he didn't take it. He would have made, you could have put $1,000 in and made a ton of money. $10,000 made a ton of money. And so now they think the next one's going to be AMC. So the AMC stock, everyone's buying AMC, which may or may not happen. But AMC is basically a dead movie theater market. It's like it was at $5. Now it started trading at $14, $19.
Yeah, but at some point, first of all, yeah, it almost crash. Seems like it's insider trading. You're
but it's not. There's no
right. But you,
it's
you
technically
are,
not.
No, it's technically.
But you are manipulating.
You are manipulating the stock. But here's the deal: is GameStop is never worth $300. At some point, somebody's losing a boatload of money.
Yes, this is highly. It's not even speculative.
No,
it's an artificial bubble.
Yeah,
and people are trying to get in while the bubble's still blowing. And at some point, when there's a sell-off, it's going to go. I mean, but everyone's like. And if you would have bet it, if you would have said, I still think there's more in the bubble, bet it at $150 and then got out at $250, you would have made $100.
So, that is so risky.
There's no question
it
is.
So risky.
That's why I got in on this.
At any point, you could be sitting there with all this stock and it's, you know, buying it at $150, buying it at $300. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because it's going to back to $20.
Oh, it's going back to where it belongs. Yeah. But the thing is, everyone wants in on the I've made $8.89 today on this stock call. So the next two to follow are EXPR, which was trading at like it was at $4 or $3 when it opened, and then it shot up. And also AMC, like AMC movie theaters, they want to now that one at least, you know, maybe movie theaters can make a comeback after the pandemic. It will never correct to what it was, but there is definitely a chance that movie theaters could make some kind of comeback. And especially if Amazon gets in and buys it and decides that they want to stream their shows there or whatever, I could see that. It's up 10 points today. It was started at like 5 and now it's at 15.
That's what the tech stocks did in the late 90s.
Oh, is that how that was happening?
Dune says it's an online boiler room. It is, but it's a.
Well, if you get
you
in
better,
on the oiler,
get in
boiler
early
room
and get out. Get in and get out because
you could go broke on that.
To me,
you go on the wrong side.
The SEC's got to look at that and go, oh.
I think the SEC has got to get in there and say, we can't have all this money siphoned over to GameStop away from Florida and Alabama and Tennessee.
How are we letting
Georgia?
The Vanderbilt of stocks?
Yeah. Somebody buy up Vanderbilt and push that stock up too. The
the SEC has got to step in and stop this. Funnel the money to Vanderbilt. Get him a real coach.
Didn't you hear that song by the great country artist Lance Zerline? Keep everyone in bondage.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're trying to get recruits. You don't say that and get recruits.
Keep that stock in bondage.
Lane Kiffin, funnel the money this way.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you meant the Security and Cotton. Oh, the Security and Exchange Commission.
Yeah, that one.
Oh.
That SEC.
This whole time I thought you were saying the SEC was like, SEC. Why is the money going to GameStop and the AMC?
It needs to be going to Georgia.
To go to Rebel, Hugh Freeze.
How are they going to pay the debt on Jamie Newman? You can't just pay off that debt when Rebels, he opted out.
Rebels, keep everybody what? In bondage.
It's a catchy tune. Scanton liked it.
Scanton?
Who?
Scanton Cog Slaughter.
Oh.
That was his pappy.
Oh.
That was his pappy? Yeah.
We got to buy out, funnel the money to the Mississippi State to buy out Leach.
They can't like
No, they can't.
The SEC's not
he's too
like
weird.
It.
And
he's talking on pirates and Indians and whatnot and different types of nonsense, flinging it all over.
Well, but the whole SEC's flinging it all over now.
Well,
you ever seen Florida, Ole Miss, and Alabama? A lot of flinging. A lot of flinging going on.
Yep. SEC, Lance. The
Security
SEC.
And Exchange.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah.
Is their slogan, it just
that makes,
means...
That makes better sense.
Does it just mean more for them, too?
Yeah, it just means more to the SEC.
SEC, SEC, SEC.
I have more respect for the... If they did that chant, if the Securities Exchange Commission, I'm like, okay,
if
I
they
get
walked
it.
In, when they're taking over
SEC.
A company...
When they're arresting people...
When they're arresting people and taking, pulling
for
out
insider
all the boxes.
Yeah.
When they're taking servers away,
yeah.
SEC... SEC. I'd appreciate
Martha
that from
Stewart's
them.
Like this. SEC. SEC.
Getting perp walked.
She's doing a perp walk.
No, she just lost that battle to the SEC.
Yeah.
They
play.
Martha
they're
scheduled. Central Florida playing the SEC.
No, they're battle tested. They got a tough schedule. They're battle tested.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go up against the SEC and think you're going to win at a conference.
Hells no.
It feels like GameStop is Josh Heupel.
Feels.
The SEC is going to get GameStop too, just like Josh Heupel's
going
to catch
stock,
it.
That stock was bought high. Guess Oof. What? It's just sell.
Tennessee's like, we got an acclaimed AD and Danny White. We finally doing things the right way. He just brought his boy. Hey, come on, Josh. I hired you one place. I'm going to hire you here.
And he did so well too.
A lot of diminishing returns. And now he'll be the Tennessee head coach, Josh Heupel, if you didn't hear.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, who's going to win at Tennessee? Honestly.
I mean, you can, but it's a mess. You'd have to be able to tell. You have to have the clout to go, I'm just going to build this thing from the ground up. All of you shut up and get out of the way. But Josh Heupel doesn't have that. He can't tell all the people to just give me money and as far as the boosters are concerned and don't have any input. He can't do that. Only like Saban can do that. Only Saban could resurrect Tennessee.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to do it. Honest, Urban Meyer could have gone there and done it.
But Urban's like, nah.
Nah.
Tennessee would have to have a reimagining of who they are and say, you know what? We're going to hand it over to a guy we believe in. We'll continue to donate money, but we're just going to stay out of the way. And how do you get those guys to stay out of the way?
Well, what you got to do is you got to have a coach that can draw nationally because you ain't getting all them players from Tennessee. Tennessee ain't putting out all that talent.
And because of where they are right now, they can't beat the guys. Even in SEC country, they recruit outside of their own state, but they're like fourth in line.
Well, right. So if they get that, of course,
how many of those guys exist?
There's only a handful. All right. It's 927 ESPN 97.5, 7378037766, the number to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So yesterday in the Bills, Syracuse.com, the Bills, I don't know, it must be Bills paper anyway, follow the Bills. Bills will get 2 third-round picks if Texans hire Leslie Frazier. Here's why. And it's about, you know, the rule.
Right.
You get the draft pick in the third round in each of the next 2 drafts for an employee hired as either a head coach or primary football executive. Mm-hmm. Or for the next 3 drafts if he has 2 employees hired for both positions. Right. So Leslie Frazier is, you think he's the leader?
Well, I mean, it's going to be Frazier or Caldwell. I think it's Frazier. He's got the connection for the connection.
So does this mean
you know that, who he's rep by?
So does this mean that the Texans are throwing in the towel on Deshaun Watson?
Well, I don't know. Like, what is?
Well, I think the only hope is that you hire Eric Bieniemy, and you hope that Deshaun says, you know what, you guys did that. You know what? Yeah. I will come back.
Yeah, that's cool that you say that. I'm just going to remind you of a name, Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Deshaun's personal offensive coordinator. So I think we're fine.
Well, I get Tim that Kelly's he likes here. Tim Kelly, but he also liked Eric Bieniemy. There's no reason. Why can't Tim Kelly be here too?
I mean, yeah, that's fine, I guess.
What, Eric Bieniemy and Tim Kelly? Mm-hmm. Now Deshaun's going to go, what? There's no better situation in the league than the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That seems likely. He would think that.
Well, are you gonna think for Deshaun now?
No, you're thinking for him.
I'm not thinking for him.
Yes, you are. You just said.
No, I said there's the possibility.
Mm. And I say there's a possibility he doesn't think that way.
Well, that's stupid to not think that way.
Okay. But now you're thinking for
and
him.
And Eric Bieniemy, like. Tim Kelly, I mean... it all over the place. Yeah. Unbelievable offensive.
Who's the owner
weapons
still?
And skills.
Who's the owner?
Knowledge is power.
No, that's not what we refer to him as anymore. You know.
What? Then what do we refer to him as?
You know.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you heard.
Okay.
That's when we're talking about Cal, that's what we hear.
Okay. Okay. Listen,
that's the guy who still owns the team.
Man, I'm going to tell you this. Yeah, I was. You had mentioned something, and man, Nick Caserio is just going to. Nick Caserio now owns an NFL team.
It's true.
It is true.
Is he going to have to write that off? Like, is he going to write off expenses, or does he have to claim profits?
No.
Because he does. And I hadn't really looked at it that way until this guy says, do they even know? This is for those who missed it. An NFL coach who was just asking me about the Texans situation, and you know, I don't know on the Texans situation. Well, anyway, he made the comment about, well, I hear it's Jim Caldwell, and I said, well, I thought it was going to be Leslie Frazier. He goes, yeah, I'm hearing Jim Caldwell, and so we go back and forth on that a little bit, and he goes, that franchise is a joke right now. Zero leadership. Caserio is going to take over the organization completely. The ownership will struggle for control. Watch. And I said, oh, it's happening. He goes, do they even know what they just did and who they just hired? And I was like, that was a scary way to phrase that.
Well, he is, I mean, he seems like a really, I don't know, he's going to scare Cal. He really is literally
going
to scare Cal.
He's a quiet guy, but he does come from a place where it is literally, it is an autocracy, without question. That is exactly what it is in New
England. Do you think Cal, after all of the moves, is going to be able to tell him no on something that he wants to do?
No.
No.
Why would Cal know better than Nick Caserio?
Well, listen, anybody would have known better than the moves Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby were making. Anybody.
Well, because
if anybody, an 11-year-old, you went in there and said, we're training DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson. 11-year-older would have said, that's dumb. We're not doing what? No, we're not doing that. I wish Cal would go back to 11 with a giant suit on, okay, sit behind the desk, okay, and Bill O'Brien would walk in and say, we're trading DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson and little 11-year-old Cal will go, no, that's too stupid. We're not doing that. Because this iteration of Cal couldn't do it. So there must have been at some point where he had some kind of intelligence. There must have been some point where he was smarter than this. Has to be. I don't know. No, honestly, I don't know.
Why are you saying this?
If you play Madden, you would not have made that trade.
Do you think Cal plays Madden?
No. Do you think he plays with a train set?
I'm not answering that question. Your Honor, he's out of line.
The judge has to hit the gavel. You can't do it as a witness. You can't be both. You can't avoid the question and hit the gavel.
I'm interested to see where this one goes. Counselor, watch yourself, but answer the question.
Well, answer the question.
In his life, yes.
He's had a train set.
Yeah. In his life, yes.
Currently in his life.
I think he might have.
Does he play with it, or does he just have something that's really cool looking?
Like
it's
a model
put
train
together,
set.
And it's an awesome
one or something he might
like
have.
Like it's something that's the whole city of Houston.
Does it run throughout the house?
No.
I do not believe that's the case.
Do you think he puts a conductor hat on still?
No, I don't think he puts a conductor hat on.
You don't?
No,
I do not believe.
I do not believe that to be the case, Your Honor.
Do you? Can I? Let me ask you another. You don't answer the. That's. I'm the lawyer.
That's
I'm not,
true.
I'm
You're
not
a
the
lawyer,
judge.
Yeah.
Sir, do you believe that Cal still owns the overalls and conductor hat and puts it on and plays with the train?
No. No, I believe he has one and it probably hangs on the wall in his bedroom.
No, unless you have proof of overalls hanging in a bedroom with a conductor hat.
I'm going to have to ask you
strike that from the record.
I'm going to have to ask to strike that.
You said I believe. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I said I believe. Yeah. The question was.
That's what I believe.
He believes. He does not know. He's just speculating. Your Honor, speculating.
Well, this whole thing started because John goes, we should be playing this for you for to say, if Cal played Madden, he would know. Cal hasn't played Madden. Why would Cal know better than to not do this or not do that? The problem is in the building, there is nobody. There's no checks and balances. This is what would happen if you have no checks and balances government. This is why checks and balances are essential.
You mean the last 4 years?
You must have checks and balances.
You had Congress that was Democrat. Yeah. You did have checks and balances. Now you don't have any checks and balances.
Did you? Because when they you got
well,
impeached,
Supreme
he was
Court,
innocent.
Supreme Court well, could be a check and balance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably.
But it's important to have checks and balances so you just can't run amok.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you don't want it to be all gridlock, but you don't want any team to be all gridlock where everyone fights. Could you imagine if a football team was run like the country and there's just warring factions inside a team like the Browns were? With John Dorsey in the analytics department, somebody goes. Somebody has to go. You can't get things done that way.
Yeah.
But you don't want what the Texans had was a complete autocracy with that turned into a Game of Thrones thing. And the Mad King, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Jack Easterby is more Jamie Lannister than Littlefinger.
He has a Mad King. Who's the
Stab
Mad King?
And Jamie also took a lot of heat.
Bill O'Brien was the Mad King.
Jamie went away.
And Jamie
came back without a hand. And he was kind of a good guy, but then eventually.
So Jack has an unnatural love for a family member?
No, I didn't say that.
No.
So you called him Jamie.
No,
so I'm trying to figure out what
he's
you're
more,
saying.
No, I'm not even going to play your game. Even John said no. But maybe he's more Jamie Lannister, and he saved us from the Mad King. Why don't you give him that instead of just Littlefinger? Maybe it's both.
Why he didn't save us?
Was he the Mad King?
Who?
Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, but it would be like if Littlefinger stabbed the Mad King in the back and then
Weren't great even after the Mad King got whacked.
They're not great now. He's not Jamie. Jamie had a redemptive arc. What's Jack's redemptive arc?
Redemptive arc is coming. When Nick Caserio takes his team to a Super Bowl.
Because he got Tom.
Redemptive arc.
All he did was hire Tom
and John. And this is what Jack Easterby's going to do. He's going to walk up and he's going to go, so the guy that we preyed on, Cal, not just me, the guy that we preyed on is leading us to a Super Bowl.
Or
Dab.
Or he just
and
made
he dabs.
Or he made sure Tom is in charge.
Brady?
No, the Caserio.
Oh, Tommen.
Tommen? No. No, Art. Cal does not get one of
those. What if he is right now trying to convince, listen, if they brought, I mean, they can't even, look, Jimmy Garoppolo should be in consideration of all the trades if you're going to do one as a.
Stop.
As a, no, just as a Band-Aid type quarterback. But I like, if you brought in a former Patriot. Now, they don't care what you think, obviously, but I have heard that they're very aware of Patriot South.
Yeah, they're not going to hire a former Patriot. They're not going to bring in Garoppolo. No way. First of all, name the trade that would work with San Francisco and Garoppolo.
Don't they have? Did they?
No, I mean, Garoppolo is just a throw-in.
Was the Colts' first-round pick that they got used last year, or was it a future first-rounder? Do they don't have multiple first-rounders this year, do they, San Francisco?
No, was it – was.
That was a 2020 pick, right? The one they got for DeForest Buckner? Because if they have multiple picks, that's a different story, but I don't think they do. I think you'd have to take three of their first-rounders over the next 3 years to start, plus Garoppolo, which I don't think San Francisco would be willing to do. Yeah, they only have the one.
They only have their one. 12th. 12th overall. Yeah, that's not. I'm sorry. Well, 12th is a good start, but then if you get Deshaun, if San Francisco gets Deshaun, what are the other first round picks?
They'll be in the mid to late 20s.
Yeah, no. We got to send Deshaun to a crappy team, the Jets, where you're still going to lose and you're still going to get good picks.
Yeah, if only Deshaun would, you know, just agree to that.
He, according to a guy from Miami. That's where he wants to go.
Mondo Sulky.
You mean the guy who has...
According to people who have talked to me...
Who has no ties to Deshaun, who... Right. I'm supposed to believe a columnist has inside information to the private inner circle of a Houston quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. I believe him.
Makes sense.
I believe every word he says. Mm. All right. 943 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Longhorn Keith, we get you in on the other side. Anybody else wants in? Come on. 713-780-3776. Right now, I'm talking about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite is here to save your. Well, it can be life saving. It can be house saving. It can be business saving. It can be. I mean, because listen, I don't know how long you've gone before you've redone anything. Your kitchen, your family. He can do any your bathrooms. Everything he can redo and make them look spectacular. If you've been in the home for 10, 12, 15, 20 years and you really haven't upgraded and done anything, well, guess what's going to happen when you try to sell the house? Nothing. And you're not going to get value for it. You got to make it look nice. You got to make it so that it is up to date. You got to keep that house. And it's the biggest investment you've probably made in your life and will ever make. So let Jeff Aronoff come and build that outdoor patio, build that outdoor kitchen, build that new kitchen, put in those countertops, put in that those bathrooms, everything. He can do it. It's got to be a big job, or it just ain't happening. So if you're looking for that big job, making your house, your business more valuable every single day, all you got to do is call him at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
946 ESPN 97.5. Apparently, Devontae Smith and Tua Tagovailoa have spoken about a reunion. And apparently, Devontae Smith at the Senior Bowl said, nah, you ain't measuring me. No height, weight for me.
Yeah. Okay. We have now entered, NFL teams are really worried about this because it was one thing not to work out. Now, when Kyler Murray pulled the, yeah, you're not going to see how tall I am trick, mm-hmm. and he still got drafted, Devontae Smith, I've been told he plays at anywhere from 168 to 174 is where you usually see him play. Super, super light for his size. He's about 6 foot one. He's close to 6'1". He's probably closer to, he's probably going to be 6 foot 170.
And
what are you going
to
do?
I saw a picture of him standing next to Tua. How tall is Tua?
So allegedly 6 feet tall?
6'2" or 6'3", right?
No.
No, 6 feet.
No, he's 6'1", is what he measured.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then they were the same height. Devontae Smith and Tua were the same height.
He's probably about Isaac Bruce's size, right? Then that, what some people have compared him to Isaac Bruce as far as size is concerned.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about his size. I ain't worried about it. All I know is dude has got, he runs wonderful routes. He's got unbelievable hands, balance. He's got great footwork.
The problem is guys are not going to run this year. Yeah. They just have decided they're not going to run. I got to
look at my human eyes. Dude can run.
No, but what's going to happen is that's why companies like the one I'm working with, Signality, you don't even have to have wearable technology. They can take your game tape. They can take a 4K version of game tape, and their computer, artificial intelligence, can measure your speed. And they can get it without, you don't have to wear anything. We got you. I'm not wearing anything. You don't know how fast I am. Oh, we know how fast you are. I don't have any chips on my shoulders. We don't need it. They can measure acceleration, deceleration, vertical leap, all that stuff while you're playing, which I think is going to become the new standard bearer. They can do it for high schools, for basketball, for volleyball.
I'm going to guess, and I know that it's awfully important that you get him in his underwear and you can all ogle him. I understand that you have to, he has to run on a track.
Devontae Smith is one thing.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And they have acceleration numbers for him on Catapult and stuff. You can get it from Alabama, I'm sure. Here's the problem. If I'm watching a guy who plays in the AAC, a cornerback, and he's pretty good, he loses a little bit of ground, and it turns out that he's a 4.57 corner, and he gets smoked in the pros, but his level of competition, the wide receivers he happened to be on, in that, that's going to be a real problem for teams. Now, theoretically, those kind of guys are going to have to run or they would fall. They're not typically going to be the highest rated guys. But if we continue to head in this direction where you just don't play games, we're opting out, not playing, not doing this, you're going to see opt-outs for junior years. I've already heard, scouts are already saying, there's going to be guys who don't play next year. COVID or no COVID, they're not going to play. And they're going to have agents paying their money, paying their stipends early on. Now, then it's going to turn into, we're not running, you're not measuring us. And it's going to be like, at some point, are you going to be a bunch of babies?
Okay.
Yeah,
I know you want to keep everybody in bondage, but guess what?
Oh, okay, here's a great one. I want to be the head of your company. I want to get a role in your company that pays $3 million a year. All right, well, let's go through the process of interviewing. I'm not interviewing. Well, we need to know everything about you.
Nope. Well, guess what? Go look at my last company, see what I did.
Hire me or not. Right? Yeah, we want height, weight, speed. We want to see how big you are. We want to check your medicals.
Well, go.
There's
go,
never going to be anything where they don't.
Go look at what I did at a smaller company and how I made them all that money.
I'm sorry. Go look at my Toledo tape, and I think you're going to see how good I am.
Yeah. Yeah, go look at what I did at a smaller company, and then you'll find out what I'm all about.
That's lame. No. Do it.
No.
And you're if you
afraid
don't like
to get
it,
on a scale?
And if you don't like it, so be it. Someone
you're afraid
else
to get on a
me.
Scale? Yeah. Do you think that's going to
be
a problem?
No. I'm still making money. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Someone
he's
else.
170 pounds. We can't possibly draft him. Get on a scale and stop being scared.
And if you know he's skinny and you don't care, then draft me. And if not,
if
someone
you don't
else
want
will.
Stop being scared.
No, here, how about dude?
Get on
you
a
be
scale.
Scared. Pass on Devontae Smith. See how it works out
because
for you.
Because he didn't get on a scale.
Get on a scale before you break.
Well, he didn't stand on a scale, so I can't draft him.
You know what? Yeah. If he goes to... Dumb. What if you guys have a tropical storm in Miami and he blows from the 20-yard line to the... And he
you know they don't
tumbles.
You know, they don't play during tropical storms, right?
What if they start... Mm. I know. You can't even play... I mean, with all the
if lightning
load
in,
management,
if
that's
lightning
true.
Is within 20 miles of a place, they don't let you play.
Tropical storms don't necessarily have lightning. What? It could be a really windy day.
I'm pretty sure now we ain't playing in a tropical storm.
Yeah, I don't think
you, in a windy day
about.
You could.
Seen,
does Devontae Smith play when it's windy?
Society.
No, you cannot play him when he's
you've
windy.
Seen soft America.
You think he's doesn't weigh? Do babies get blown away when it's windy? What are you talking about?
They can get knocked down.
Oh, he didn't stand on a scale.
Babies
can't draft
can
him.
Easily get knocked down.
No, he won the Heisman as a wide receiver. He was unbelievable. Won national championship.
Yeah,
but we can't draft him
because
he didn't stand on a scale.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Lunatic, John. Yeah.
Longhorn Keith's here. What's up, Longhorn Keith?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome, man. Hey, I wanted to quickly ask you guys a question in regards to, and I've been listening to you guys talk about NFL coaching, and more importantly, about specifically about black coaches and whether or not they'll be hired. And first, let me ask you something. What do you think about the hire for, kudos to Jennifer King for being hired by the Washington football team. But I'm curious to know, and I guess specifically, Lance, how do you think NFL players respond to female position coaches? I'm just curious to know, like, what do you think that response would be for NFL running back who's played the position? Obviously, she's played in the women's league, but I'm just curious before I make this last statement.
You know, I don't know. I'd hate to even guess because I like my job. Honestly, I don't know how players would respond. I mean, I could guess based on the machismo. There's already a lot of players who struggle with coaches who didn't play the game at a high level. I would imagine those same players would have twice as many problems with female position coaches. No matter what they say publicly and privately, they would probably have a lot of problems with it. Players are not super coachable relative to what they were 10, 20 years ago, regardless. But we are seeing more of it. We are seeing more. You don't have to have played a sport to be really good at analyzing, evaluating, and potentially even teaching that sport. But it's a hard sell. It's a hard sell for athletes. So, and there's already, for some athletes, a gender issue anyway, where they won't have as much respect for a female. That's just, we see it in society. We know that's the case. So, you know, I'm certainly curious as to whether or not, now, the Becky Hammon thing for basketball, I think there is a better chance in basketball than football because there are female players who become coaches who have excelled at a high level. You're just never going to have that on a professional level with football where somebody has an elevated, you know, platform because of how good they were in the same sport.
In the lingerie league?
Nope.
Nope.
I'm not taking your bait on that. Longhorn Keith, what do you want to follow
really
up with?
Really good in the lingerie league and then come coach.
Well, because there's other professional women's leagues.
Hmm. Lance, would you call him the master of baiting?
Yeah, he's when it comes to baiting things, he's the master. Master. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what did you want to follow up with, Keith?
John is real quick, I just find it very interesting, and that's a great point, and I don't want to get in any kind of trouble in talking about that, because I feel the same way. I don't know if guys will. They'll say the right things in private when they're having to take instructions from a female coach. I don't know how well that's going to play out, but it'll be interesting to see. But in regards to black NFL head coaches, this is kind of where I was going with that question is, do you feel like a lot of black coaches, male coaches, are not getting roles or not getting the real interviews as a result of not being in the right positions, for example, offensive coordinators, assistant head coaches, running back coaches, that kind of deal? Is it just a matter of not having the right fit for the right person for the right job kind of situation or the right GM that's interviewing these guys? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, look, the easy answer for a lot of people is going to be NFL's just racist and that's it. But the more complex issue is you really, in most cases, need to come from coordinator positions or to be the hot name coming up. Raheem Morris was the hot name coming up. No one ever talks about this. Black head coach. He was in his 30s. He was the hot name. And I remember when Ballard was a scout telling me, I said, who's the next big name coming up? Because he's always known who those guys were. And he said, Raheem Morris. And the next year, Raheem Morris was a head coach. And he failed. He was a young guy. Probably wasn't ready for it and wasn't a great situation, and Raheem Morris didn't get it done. But that was over 10 years ago. And if you're the hot coach coming up, Mike Tomlin was the hot coach coming up. Mike Tomlin had not even been a coordinator. And this is why people just, it's just racist. Well, Mike Tomlin was the hot name. Mike had never been a defense coordinator on the pro level. I think he was at Kansas State. My dad worked with him at University of Cincinnati, which is why Tomlin brought him over to Pittsburgh. He was a guy in his 30s. He was the hot name. And this is, once again, this is in the early 2000s when this happened, like 2006 for Mike Tomlin, 2007. So This does go on if you're the hot name. Everyone wants the hot name. Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. The younger you are, the hotter name you are. These are guys who weren't even – Raheem Morris had been a defense coordinator, I think, for a year, and Mike Tomlin had never been a defensive coordinator. They were hired in their 30s, young black guys hired as head coaches. I think the key, though, is it does start with offensive and defensive coordinators. If you're a coordinator and a successful coordinator, you have a much better chance. If you're younger, you have a much better chance. That's just how it is. Everyone wants the young guy like Tomlin that they can roll with for a long time. They love that. I think something that's happened that people have not paid attention to is that they're starting to become a lot more black GMs. And these guys run entire teams, and people are hyper-focusing on Eric Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy, and running with the narrative. The fact is Terry Fontenot is a good young African-American GM candidate who was hired by Atlanta. Ryan Poles out of Kansas City got a second interview with Matt Rhule in Carolina, and they loved him. He's rep by Trace Armstrong. He's going to be a GM within the next 2 years. Black GMs are getting hired to take over entire teams, the vision of teams. That is an incredibly impactful position and opportunity at diversity that behind the scenes, people in the NFL are like, this is a really big deal that no one's talking about because they're so focused on Bieniemy. But there's going to be candidates that keep coming up. But Leslie Frazier's an older guy who he got his shot. Retread is retread. Eberflus has never been a head coach. You'll hear him. People get a little excited about him. Greg Roman's doing a great job as coordinator. No one wants him because he doesn't look like a head coach.
The same with Daboll.
Brian Daboll doesn't look like that. Josh Allen, Colin Kaepernick, Lamar Jackson. The guys they've had success with, there's been a lot of them. And yet they don't look like, I'm just telling you, this is more than a black coach thing. They want you to look a certain way. They don't want jolly round fat guy who's short.
Except Andy Reid.
Yeah, and Andy Reid was a football player at BYU, was an offensive lineman at BYU. And yeah, and Andy also came from that Holmgren tree, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And the Ron Wolf and the Holmgren, and that was, you know, that was a really big deal. John Gruden came from that tree. That tree was a really big deal. The Belichick tree is dead. Everyone thought that was a good tree. Not a good tree.
Oh, is it, Lance?
The O'Brien tree. Is it? We're going to see what happens because who was the guy from, who was the first OC they had with the bald head? From Georgia Tech?
Oh,
George Godsey?
Yeah. I don't.
He's a tight end coach in Miami.
For the Dolphins?
Yes, tight end coach.
Tree's alive.
Well, no, the New England
tree. Mike Vrabel? Oh, no. Mike Vrabel? Is that any good?
The New England tree's alive and well living in Houston, by the way. So
there's still a little bit of a tree. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And Josh McDaniel's the last tree. Of course, he also got slaughtered when he tried to make his little run. But let's just quick hot second. I mean, the Bill O'Brien tree.
Mike Vrabel.
George Godsey's now with the Miami Dolphins.
Is Izzo still?
Izzo somewhere.
Is he?
Wes Welker somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
These are all.
Anthony Weaver's probably going to go
he's
somewhere.
He's in Baltimore.
He got hired by Baltimore. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why you're so hateful about stuff?
Where is a special teams coordinator in Seattle?
There you go. Now, did Bill O'Brien hire Larry Izzo? Yes. Was he the initial hire? No. Was anyone hired away from the Texans? Only Vrabel. Oh, no.
Well, yeah. The other ones were fired. Yeah. But.
And
they're still on his tree.
And guess what? This is gonna be your favorite. And I heard this previously, which is another thing that made me just disgusted by O'Brien. He likes to sometimes tell guys to get their stuff and get the F out when he fired them. Like it gave him a charge to say, get the out of the building.
You think it's because he was a big
how low class was that?
He was a big entourage guy and he was being
Ari Gold?
Yeah.
It does
get
sound
the- a lot.
10:01 ESPN 97.
That is pretty much Ari Gold.
Hey, Lance, get the out of here. That's right. Beat it.
Wow.
10:01 ESPN 97.5.
Looted Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.